according to God's word and God's will. When you talk about praying in faith, look, sometimes people think that God's going to do something. And let me say it this way. We almost think God's going to do something contrary to His character or to His word because I have enough faith. There are people out there who believe that. It's all about my faith. It's not about what Almighty God has planned. It's all about my faith. If I have enough faith, I won't be sick. If I have enough faith, I'll get what I want. I'll have that Magnum P.I. Ferrari. God will give me that because of my faith. No, no, no. It is about God's word and His will. So when we pray by faith, what we're doing is praying according to God's word and God's will. For when we pray according to God's word, and we are in God's will, then we know that He answers. Okay? John 14, verse 13 and 14, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, this is not, when you hear me pray, and the way I close prayer is probably habitual, but I pray in Jesus' name. I do that because I believe we should pray in Jesus' name. I'm not praying in Allah's name. I'm not praying in Trump's name. I'm not praying in my name. I'm praying in Jesus' name. And I hope I'm praying according to His will. But that's not, look, in Jesus' name is not some magic formula to get what we want. That's not the idea of this. It's not that we just say something and ask for something and then say, well, I'm asking it in Jesus' name. So, Lord, you're now obligated to give it to me. That's not what that means. To pray in Jesus' name, it is praying according to His will, which He has revealed where? In His Word. So what is revealed in His Word, we have His Word, that is His revealed will. When we know that, we pray His Word, therefore we're praying His will. When we pray according to His will, He's going to answer those prayers. So we can't separate the Word of God and prayer. For in His Word, He gives us the promises we claim when we pray. Go back to 1 Kings 18, verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, present yourself to Ahab,'" and look what God tells him, "'and I will send rain on the earth.'" Now, if you don't go back and read the story of Elijah, and we just read James, we just see that Elijah prayed and it didn't rain, and then Elijah prayed and it rained. And we might get the idea that it was all about Elijah's prayer, his faith. And it was all about God. The answer to prayer there is because it was God's will, and he prayed according to God's will. So Elijah prayed in faith. Now for him, it's by faith. It's strange that we say that, because if God tells you, it really isn't praying by faith. It's really praying in obedience. Because if God says it, let me just tell you this. People say, "If God said it, I believe it, that finishes it." No, no, no. Forget the middle part. It don't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it, that's the end of it. That finishes it. That's it. It don't matter whether I believe it or not. It doesn't make it true, me believing it. What's true is because God said it. So Elijah prayed in faith, for God told him he would send the rain. God told Elijah, "I'll send the rain." He had the promise that God was going to do that. He didn't tell him when. He didn't tell him what the circumstances said, but I'll send the rain. Robert Law said, "Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done on earth." It was not Elijah talking God or telling God what to do. That's not what Elijah was doing. He didn't pray to God and tell God what to do. That wasn't it. He wasn't commanding God. He wasn't presuming upon God. He prayed God's will, which was revealed to him in God's word and what he said. And we must also pray with clean hearts. If you're going to pray according to his word, but you also have to pray with clean hearts. Psalm 66, 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, I've said this before, and there may be some that don't agree with me, but this I do believe this. The thing here is, can He not hear me? Does He not hear me? Well, that seems kind of stupid, because if He couldn't hear me when I repented. when I had a change of mind. Here's the way I really believe this. It's not that he can't hear me. It's that he doesn't. Tell it to the hand. You can tell it to the hand. You ever done that with your kids? You know, and it's kind of this. If your kid's got an attitude, it's kind of like, look, I ain't listening to you until you get your mouth right, get your heart right, till you change your attitude. Then we can talk. Then I'll listen to you. Tell it to the hand, because I ain't listening. You hear it, right? You hear it, but you ain't listening. I ain't listening. You get your heart right, change that attitude, then we can talk. I'll listen. And that's what this is. When there's iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not listen. He's not listening to me. He's not regarding my prayer because there's iniquity in my heart. So again, it's not that he does not hear. He chooses not to hear, not to listen, not to give ear to me in that situation. And the idea of this is really, if you think about it in James chapter 1, it's we're double-minded. See, if we've got sin in our heart and we're praying, I mean, doesn't that sound weird? I've got this hidden sin over here. It may be something simple, but I'm just holding on to it. Or it might be some practice that I'm holding on to, but I'm holding on to it. And then over here, I'm trying to be all spiritual and religious, and I go and pray, and Lord, I love you, and I want to be faithful. I want to do that. But he says, well, you need to get this right. I'm not listening to what you're saying over here because you ain't got it right over here. You got to get it right over here. When that's right over here, I'll hear you over here. But it's this idea of being double-minded. And it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave in the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so, folks, when we're regarding sin in our heart, we're double-minded. We're trying to live in the world and trying to live the God thing, live the spiritual thing. We got that going on. We got this going on. And I shared this kind of like having your foot on the dock and your foot on the boat, right? And you're doing, you know, up and down, and you're unstable. And you're unstable in all your ways. And it will affect every area of your life. You'll be unstable in every area of your life. All right, number three. So we must pray. We must pray in faith. Number three is we must pray earnestly. Earnestly. Elijah was determined and concerned in his praying. He prayed earnestly. And the word earnestly means with sincere and intense conviction. It's seriously. He was serious in his prayer. The literal Greek reads this way, and he prayed in prayer. I don't even know what that means, but I know it means he was serious in his praying. In his prayer, you know what he did in his prayer? He prayed. You know what he did when he was talking to God? He talked to God. He was serious in this. It wasn't just lip service. Many people do not pray in their prayers. Many just lazily say religious words and their hearts are not in their prayers. There was a story about a guy that this man was praying, and he's just, you ever had these people that pray all around the world? They're just everywhere, and they ain't saying nothing. He's just praying all over the place. He's just everywhere. And finally, somebody yelled at him and said, well, ask him something. Get busy in your praying. Get serious with your praying. The power of prayer, prayer power is the greatest power in the world today. Amen? It's the greatest power in the world today. Now again, verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. History shows how mankind has progressed from manpower to horsepower to dynamite to TNT to atomic power and to nuclear power. But greater than nuclear power is prayer power. So the greatest power there is prayer power. Our prayers are not powerful because we pray them powerfully. That's not what makes a prayer powerful. Or loudly, or passionately. Our men have prayer band on Monday nights, and we used to do this in a church in the past, and I think prayer band is a great ministry, it's a great idea, so you know, I didn't have it, I stole it from somewhere else. But I enjoyed it, it was one of my favorite ministries there is when we got together. But our pastor and our youth pastor, I think they must have been deaf, because they screamed and hollered in their prayers. I think they were trying to outshout each other as though that made it more spiritual. Now, they were spiritual men. They loved the Lord. But that just Here's what it did to me. I couldn't hear myself think to pray. So I'd be like, we're supposed to all be praying. They're screaming loud. I'm like, well, all right, y'all have at it. I'll wait till you're done and I'll jump in. But it was distracting for me. So listen, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being powerful or loud or passionate in your praying. But that's not where the power is. The prayers are powerful because of the one to whom we are praying to. If I'm praying to some false god, there's zero power in that prayer. But I'm praying to God of the universe, there's power in that prayer because He has the power. So Elijah prayed for his nation, and God answered his prayer. We need to pray for our nation today that God will bring brokenness, conviction, and repentance, and revival, and that the showers of blessing will rain on our land. But it requires us praying for brokenness and conviction and repentance and revival. So we've got to have that. If our nation, if we're going to have revival in our nation, it's going to start with brokenness. And I'm going to promise you, it ain't going to start out there with the lost world. It's got to start with us. And it means if there is apathy in our heart, if there's apathy in our lives, and if there's apathy in our Christian walk, we've got to get that out of there. We got to quit playing games. We got to quit being, well, I'm partly in. I might even be mostly in. No. I need to be all in. Burn the ships. We're not going back. If we go back, we go back in their boats, not ours. Y'all know the story? I think you know the story. If you don't, ask me later. One of the first responsibilities of local church is to pray for government. So we need to pray for our government as well. So we pray for our government. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior. You know, we want peace. We want that. Pray for our leadership. Pray for those who have authority in our nation. Pray for them. We want them to do well. I'm amazed. Well, let me get political for a minute. We got people in our country today that they hate our country. They hate everything this country was founded on. They hate what the country is the reason, the very existence of it today. They would love to see it crumble. And you know how you can know that? Because everything that's good that's going on right now, they're doing everything they can to tear it apart. And I go, wow, we send the people living in Washington love what President Trump did in Washington. They can walk on the street and go out to dinner now. They haven't been able to do that for years. People are like, we love this. And there are those who would fight everything in them, fights that. Because they don't want anything good for our nation. They don't want anything good. Folks, we ought to pray for our government. I want our government to succeed. I want our nation to succeed. I want it to be great. You know, as the water rises, it rises for everybody. Right? Raises everybody up. And we've seen that before. We want our country to do well and excel and exceed. We want to see that do great. But it starts, we need to pray for our government. We want a government that's going to allow us to still worship. We've seen tyranny in our lifetime in the last 5 years. We've seen tyranny that says you can't meet together. We saw it right here. You can't meet together. There's this disease that's so bad, you have to stick something up your nose to see if you have it. It's so horrible. You can't meet together. Now, you can go to the bars, especially the certain type of bars. You can go to gamble. You can go do those things. But no, you can't gather in church because that's dangerous. That's wickedness. That's demonic system that's fighting against us. There's a church in our association right now. They've seen phenomenal growth in the last, probably the last couple of years. I mean, just phenomenal. Right now, they're running about 600. They're over on the coastal side, over by the beach in the Daytona area. Or it's actually in the new Smyrna Beach area. It's on the coastal side. They're running 600. And so, like, they're having trouble with parking and stuff. And they've got somebody over there who's a very open atheist that is fighting against them and everything they're trying to do to get some help with the situation with growth and stuff. So I want you to think about that tonight and pray for that church. It's over in New Smyrna Beach. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it. Beachside, I think, is the name of it. Pastor Khalil. In fact, our chiropractor, Scott Pancake, he goes to that church. You have to ask him about it. Maybe you can get some details. If you get more details, you can call me and tell me. But Glenn was sending me information about that and asking us to pray in the association. So they're just facing it. So we're going to face that, folks. But pray. Pray for those who are in authority. Because God is more powerful than us to try to take them out with voting or any of that stuff. Man, and I need 10 more minutes and I don't have it. I got 10 seconds. So we'll finish that up and move to our last lesson in James next week. All right? All right. So we pray. We pray in faith. We must pray earnestly. And then we'll get to point 4 next week. All right. Any comments before we dismiss?